Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Welcome. This is Gretchen Hockmeister, the Executive Director of the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, and I'm joined by Tammy Gaskell from the Rojan Library in New York. And we are going to talk today, sort of in general, about where libraries get their books from, because most people probably don't know where we get our books, and a recent major disruption to our work in terms of being able to get the books that we put on the shelves. And there, I guess I'll just briefly, before I ask you, Tammy, where you get your books, I will just say that we don't buy directly from publishers. There are far too many publishers to deal with, and there is something called book wholesalers who have warehouses full of books from many hundreds of publishers, if not thousands, and we can order from them. And traditionally, there were two very large wholesalers in this country called Baker and Taylor and Ingram, and they both serviced independent bookstores and the public library market, and I'm assuming academic libraries as well. And about a decade ago, or a little less than a decade, I guess, Baker & Taylor, which was this very well-respected family-run company for over 100 years, was bought by private equity, and it changed hands a number of times, and things just didn't go well. And they stepped out of the independent bookstore market and decided they would their business model would be just to concentrate on libraries. And COVID came, and there was a big disruption in a lot of things during COVID. I remember that we weren't getting books quickly. We would order things, and they would be back-ordered. And things just, they got a bit better after COVID, but then they got bad again. I would say about 12 months ago, we started noticing it. And we worked with the company Baker & Taylor, and they have announced just a couple of months ago, less than maybe only 6 weeks ago, that they are ceasing to do business. So we will be down to one major wholesaler, although there are some smaller ones. We work with somebody called Brodart now, but they're much smaller in terms of the number of things they carry as well as the number of accounts that they have. And there are other companies trying to get into the market now. Amazon has launched a library hub. Barnes & Noble has launched a library service center, I believe. And there are some libraries, I think, who buy books from their local bookstore, but they won't get as good of a discount. I may have left that out, that we get a significant discount, about 40% off of the books, the same that the independent bookstores get. So that's sort of the background. And with one less company in the mix, we don't know what the repercussions will be in terms of pricing and availability. And Tammy, how about you? Where do you guys get your books?
So we have been getting our books from Ingram, sort of the major competitor for Baker and Taylor, for many, many years. So even Ingram has been struggling, I think. I mean, at least we have noticed in recent years that it takes longer to get popular titles, that there's a lot of things backordered. And that's been a frustration, I think, no matter who you're getting your books from lately. I know some libraries in our system have been turning to Amazon to get books that are very popular and they want to get quickly because you know, they're not getting them from Baker & Taylor, Brodart, or Ingram in a timely manner. So and with one less distributor, it will be interesting to see if Ingram and Brodart can pick up the slack, or if Amazon will gain market share. One of the things that we do get from Ingram and Baker and Taylor is a lot of processing services. You know, the books come covered in those Mylar jackets if you want it. They can put on the spine labels. They can even do the barcodes. And traditionally, Amazon and other services have not done that. So they haven't or provided catalog records. I think they're trying to get into that so that they can service libraries, but currently they don't have the same level of service.
Right, We used to pay Baker and Taylor for processing. I don't know what it costs now. It used to be $1 a book for all of those added things, and then all we had to do was add it to our catalog when it arrived. But during COVID, we stopped doing that because it was taking so long. It was adding time. They didn't have enough people in their warehouse to do that work, and we couldn't get the books quickly enough. So our staff does the processing now, so we save a little bit of money. And we'll get things quicker. But I know a number of libraries in Connecticut that use Baker and Taylor, and they're really scrambling to find alternatives and to get accounts. I know Brodart has lifted the minimum order amount annually now to a very high number, which they didn't used to have. So they're not taking any new customers. They're a much smaller company. Right. But it's definitely disruptive. And I think the next couple of months it'll be interesting to see how quickly we get things, and you know, what the availability will be. It's very right. sad. Baker and Taylor was a great company. Their customer service, the representatives were so nice. They're both Ingram and Baker and Taylor, I believe, are based in Nashville. They had the friendliest people on the telephone to talk to you, and they were so accommodating when they could be, and. It's very sad to hear about a company like that go out of business. I did attend a information session that Amazon had online. I don't know if you went to any of those about their services that they're offering, and they really couldn't answer anybody's questions. They said we can do this. They're giving very good discounts, but only for the first 90 days from publication date.
Oh wow! No, I hadn't heard
and then
that,
the discount goes back to the discount that everybody gets on the regular Amazon. You get a different page to log into through an Amazon business account to get right. to their library hub, and they of course can't do any processing or anything, as you mentioned. So I don't know, and I think most librarians aren't very excited about getting their books from Amazon, quite frankly.
Right. So, well, Amazon has not played nice with libraries for years, and now they are trying right. to get into that market. Right. I mean. They have right. e-books and audiobooks, Audible, that everybody knows about and uses, but they won't sell those materials to libraries. Yet now they're trying to get us to get their print books. So
right.
it's interesting.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm glad to hear that you've always used Ingram and you haven't noticed any slowdown in receiving materials at this point.
At this point, it's hard, a little early to tell, I guess. Yeah. It's been, like I said, a bit slower over the last year anyway. This fall, I mean, I just got an order in yesterday that was placed a month ago, so that's a little late. Usually they used to be quicker than that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm definitely putting orders in earlier, as is my children's librarian. You know, we put our November order in earlier than we normally would have just to hope that some of that stock would be allocated to us in case there's a slowdown. But so far, it seems okay. We'll see. I know I did get an email this morning. Baker and Taylor is having a 50% off sale off of anything they have left.
Right. I saw that too. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So what out of the books that you do have available to you, what are you reading now, Tammy?
What am I reading? So I am reading, I'm not quite done, but almost done, Amity by Nathan Harris. Nathan Harris is maybe known for his first novel, came out a couple of years ago, called The Sweetness of Water. This novel, Amity, is like Sweetness of Water, set in the post-Civil War, immediate post-Civil War era. It's a historical novel following the peril journeys of two siblings, formerly enslaved, Coleman and June, as they navigate this new world and seek their freedom. June is the older of the siblings, and she gets taken to Mexico by her former master, where he plans to try to recreate some of the old South with a new settlement in Mexico. And Coleman stays behind with his former mistress, but then gets summoned to Mexico when June, his sister, escapes, runs away, and his former master hopes that his presence will bring June back. So it's a story of their journeys after the war, about the lasting traumas of slavery and some of the false promises of emancipation. So Amity, the title itself, refers to a settlement of free black and indigenous people in Mexico that plays a major role in the story.
Interesting.
What are you reading?
I just finished a really interesting, well-written thriller from 2021 called Northern Spy by a woman named Flynn Berry, and it's sort of a slow-building story set in Northern Ireland about a very young mother of an infant who sort of flung into what remains of the IRA today, what they call the new IRA, and through a family member who gets involved, and this character happens to be a producer at the BBC radio in Belfast, and it becomes a very interesting novel of intrigue, but also about this woman and trust within families and motherhood and sacrifice and country. It was really lovely. Had it on our shelf, and I just picked it up, and I enjoyed it. And I just started a really interesting book called Bog Queen, which is a new novel by Anna North. And she was the author of a feminist Western I read a few years ago, which I loved, which was called Outlawed, sort of a female Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. But Bog Queen is really interesting, about an American forensic anthropologist named Agnes who is called to England to investigate a body that is discovered in a bog in northwest England. And the local police believe that it's a missing, you know, contemporary woman, but she very quickly realizes that it is probably a body that has been buried there since the Iron Age, and she becomes obsessed with learning about anything she can about what life for this woman would have been like 2,000 years ago. As I said, I'm not very far into it, but it's very, very interesting. I like it a lot. And what are your patrons asking for in reading?
Well, the most requested book this week is What We Can Know by Ian McEwan.
Oh, good.
Have you read it?
I did. I read it as soon as it came out. I actually had to go buy a copy because he's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, so this is a novel that explores, apparently, I have not read it, but I look forward to reading it, the irreversibility of climate change. It's set in 2119, so about 100 years from now, and follows in a world that's been devastated by climate change, is largely submerged by rising seas. It follows a scholar who is studying our time, the early 21st century, a period that is referred to as the derangement, called that because it was a time when people knew about climate change but refused to act on it. And it's a story of his quest to find a lost poem from that time, and there's a mystery involved, and through all of this, he learns the secrets and some of the truths about the people of that time that challenge him of his assumptions. McEwan himself says the book is less about the future of science and more about the future of the humanities and love and life in a climate-changed world. So it's one that I think I will put on my reading list. What are your patrons reading?
Well, it's the week of Louise Penny, last week in the week. Her latest, what is it, the 21st or 20th, The Black Wolf came out. So we have multiple copies, and they are going out and coming back very quickly. People love them. They zip through them. So that's very popular. Also, the Nicholas Sparks, M. Night Shyamalan, I never say his name right, I apologize, the director, they've done a collaboration, which is a supernatural love story called Remain. There's been a lot of interest in that. And then in nonfiction, Kamala Harris's memoir, 107 Days, has been going out as well. And what programs do you have coming up over there you want to let people know about?
Well, things slowed down a bit in November. We were just having a staff meeting yesterday. It's like, phew, you know, we felt like we got through October where we were super busy.
Yeah.
The holidays forced us to slow down a little bit, but we still have things going on. We have our usual weekly programs like our Tai Chi and story times and our monthly book groups, including a new YA Book Club, which their next meeting will be on the 20th. They're reading Aristotle and Dante, Discover the Secrets of the Universe. And that's for both adults and children, and adults and teens, so all are welcome. Other special programs we have coming up, we have a songwriting workshop on Thursday, the 13th at 6 o'clock, and that is with our children's librarian, Zandra O'Connell, who is also a professional musician. We actually have two children's librarians. They are job sharing, and one of them is a professional artist and one a professional musician. So we get the benefit of both of their talents, which is wonderful. So Zandra will be leading a songwriting workshop. And then later in the month, and try to remember the date of it, but she is also going to have a, yes, the 22nd, a special musical story time. I think this one is focused on rock. You know, she's going to do a monthly musical story time looking at a different genre of music. So that should be interesting and fun. We have also coming up as we approach the holidays, a couple of holiday-themed programs. On December 3rd, we have an author talk with Pamela McCall, who has written a book called The Wondrous Mrs. Claus, which looks at the depictions and storytelling about Mrs. Claus over the past couple of centuries. That is co-sponsored with our local Rojan Historical Society. And then on the December 6th, that's a Saturday afternoon, we are having a performance by the story crafters of the Snow Queen, the famous Hans Christian Andersen tale that was the basis for Disney's Frozen. So we're looking forward to those events. What have you got going on over in Connecticut?
Yes, we have. The story crafters are great, I will just add, to encourage people to go. We've had them here as well. Our fall author series continues. We have baseball writer Jane Levy this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock, November 9th, Make Me Commissioner, I Know What's Wrong with Baseball and How to Fix It. After that fabulous final game of the World Series, we're hoping for a big crowd for that. On Sunday, November 16th at 4 p.m., we have Connecticut resident Alexandra Crapanzano, who's a cookbook author, and she has the second of her French cookbooks is coming out called Chocolat, Parisian Desserts and Other Delights, and she will be doing a demonstration. And, of course, that means there may be something to taste. So I encourage everybody to come and partake in some fabulous French chocolate desserts. And instead of mentioning what we have going on, I encourage people to look at our website. I know we have to wrap things up, but I do want to mention two things that might be of interest in the larger community for people interested in libraries. Tomorrow night, Friday, November 7th, the Salisbury Forum is presenting a talk by Anthony Marks, who is the president of the New York Public Library, and he will be speaking at 7 p.m. at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School in Falls Village. They put on great programs with great, incredible speakers and authors on current topics, and I'm so excited he'll be there to talk about sort of the state of libraries and how the New York Public Library system runs. It's the largest library system in the country. So I recommend that people can go on their website, salisburyforum.org, to register for that. And then a week from Saturday, on November 15th at 7 p.m., the Movie House in Millerton will be screening the new documentary, The Librarians, which focuses on the attacks on school libraries and librarians and challenges to freedom to read, issues of book banning, and we will be having a panel discussion thereafter with a number of librarians from both schools and public libraries from both New York State and Connecticut afterwards. So I encourage people to go to the Movie House website to get tickets for that on the 15th. And I think that's all we have time for today. So thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakefieldbooks.com.